Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I'd like to begin reading with verse 13. It is in your bulletins, it's Mark 10, verse 17, but I'd like to read verse 13. In further reflection on preaching the sermon this morning, I thought it would be appropriate. I've preached it in a series of sermons, and it picks up a theme from Mark 10, verse 13, in which Jesus is interacting with the little children, but also reflecting on kingdom accounting that is displayed in the life of this rich young man who comes to Jesus. Our text this morning is going to be verses 17 through 22, but I'd like to begin reading with Mark 10, verse 13, and read through verse 31. Hear now God's word. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, what we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Again, our text is verses 17 through 22. And this morning we're considering God's kingdom accounting, the gospel of kingdom accounting that Jesus is revealing. And I read the previous passage because in that passage, Jesus is teaching about the blessing of belonging to the kingdom of God. Belonging and believing. And we need children in God's kingdom to remind us what it means to belong to God's kingdom. Children represent complete dependence upon their parents. From an infant up to adolescence, they look to their parents to supply them what they need. And Jesus identifies this in verse 15 as one of those true statements. "Truly," he says, "I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." We need to have this kingdom dependence resonating in our minds when it comes to this next story, this next event that Jesus is teaching us. Because it illustrates the danger in God's kingdom. The danger of belonging in his kingdom without believing, without acknowledging and recognizing our soul's complete dependence, without coming to God with open hands. God's kingdom calls us to cherish the precious place of belonging in His kingdom, but especially believing in the King for eternal life. So as we consider God's word this morning, as we think about what Jesus is teaching us in this text, we need to recognize that, or we need to learn that it represents to us a failed test in kingdom arithmetic. A failed test in kingdom arithmetic. Because our text is concerned with this question, what adds up to eternal life? That's how this young wealthy man, came to Jesus. What is the accounting of life in God's kingdom? What does it take to measure up to eternal life? And this isn't a trick question. But unfortunately, the simplicity of God's accounting escapes many people. As we consider this kingdom accounting that Jesus is revealing to us, there's three things that we need to learn from our text. It's the 3 points for this morning's message. First of all, the all-important question. Secondly, the misguided measure. And thirdly, the loving correction. The all-important question, the misguided measure, and the loving correction. The all-important question. This man comes to Jesus and asks one of the most important questions of life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? If you have not pondered this question, if you have not thought about this question, I need to tell you that you are avoiding one of the most fundamental questions that you will ever face. This is basic to all of our existence. It's the most urgent issue of our day. Have you thought about that this way? The most urgent issue of our day, it's not the cost of living crisis. It's not which party is leading in the polls. It's not the increasing crime rate. It's not the detrimental effects of climate change. The most urgent issue of our day is what will you do for eternal life? What will you do? What do you need to inherit eternal life? You see, the sum and substance of your existence is not what happens here and now in this temporary time that you call life. This life is but a vapor. It's gone so quickly. It's like the frost on a sunny morning. It quickly escapes. And this is the all-important question. And it's the question that this man has. And how promising is the character of this man who asks this question? It's oozing with the sweetness of human potential. Did you hear how Mark records the wonder and the splendor of his coming as he asks this all-important question? He comes to Jesus, and Mark's recorded this way. He comes with urgency. He runs up to Jesus. He comes with humility. He kneels before Jesus. The Gospel of Luke tells us that this young man is a ruler. He's a man of influence. He's a man who's highly regarded. And he's a man who even as he comes with urgency and humility, he celebrates Jesus as a good teacher. Good teacher. What must I do? He's not a scoundrel. He's been striving to follow God's law from childhood. He's wealthy. a representation in that time of God's blessing upon him. And he, oh, God has blessed me. I've sought to live for him and look at the abundance he's bestowed upon me and how respectable this man is and what potential he has for influence in Jesus' camp. Imagine having him among the disciples, so highly regarded. And he asks the right question. Ah. We love it when visitors come like this. And yet, secondly, there's this misguided measure. A misguided measure. Jesus engages with this man. And he's not doing it simply for the man's sake. It's recorded in God's word because this is urgent for your sake, for my sake, for our sake as the church of Jesus Christ. This man has a misguided measure of what he needs to do. What must I do to inherit eternal life? In kingdom arithmetic, in kingdom accounting, as God reveals to us the way we need to think about these things, there's two words that don't fit together. It's do and inherit. Inheritance is a gift. It's a bestowal of God's grace. It's not a result of what you do. It doesn't fit. Boys and girls, this is a mistaken measure. It's a bit like asking, and you'll hear it as I say it, you'll say, Pastor Klosterman, that just doesn't fit. I would ask the question this way. How many liters are there in a kilometer? Oh, the guy doesn't know arithmetic. But if we're asking this question, you don't know kingdom accounting. Notice the compassion of Jesus. The tenderness and the gentleness he approaches us when we have this mistaken notion resonating and ringing around in our souls. He doesn't dismantle this man's question. Instead, he uses the man's standard of measure, even though it is misguided, and he highlights what this man needs to do. He highlights what he needs to do. He engages him on his terms. And why does he do this? He does this because it's not just this man. It's the disciples. It's you and me that so often struggle under this misguided measure. You see, these are the disciples who just a little bit earlier had tried to push the children aside. No, 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 no. Jesus doesn't have time for someone like a child. Wait, just wait. Oh, but this wealthy man comes. This moral man comes. This man with humility and with urgency. And oh, you can see there. Ah, we're getting somewhere. Yeah, this man needs to come to Jesus. How often our measures are so often misguided. And it highlights the problem. And the reason this man comes to Jesus. That we need to wrestle with and we need to struggle with. Because our measure, how often we plague our souls with this concern. And we think a matter of entering into God's fellowship is just a matter of doing one more thing or doing one thing more. Is that what's behind this man coming to Jesus? Because as hard as he's tried, he's realized there's this gnawing reality that there's always one more thing that he has to do or what he has been doing, he hasn't been doing enough of. It really sucks the soul dry, doesn't it? I've heard this so many times. I've counseled elderly people who are approaching their final days and their question and their concern with me is, Pastor, I don't think I've done enough. I have to say, it's not about what you've done. It's about what Christ has done for you. And how easily our spiritual strength can be sapped when we're concerned about doing one more thing. And that's a misguided measure. Because the kingdom of God is an inheritance that is secured, not by what my hands have done. I praise the Christ of God. I rest on love divine, and with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Savior mine. And thirdly, we need to hear Jesus' loving correction. Jesus looks at this man with love. What an assurance for us. Doesn't mean he saves him. It means that Jesus has compassion on him and engages him and says, there's one thing you're still lacking. Now, sadly, we're familiar with this passage and we hear Jesus say, there's one thing you're lacking, and we think of that one thing. Interestingly, this one thing is actually two different activities. And often our attention goes to the first. Go, sell all you have, give to the poor, and you will have heavenly treasure. And we say, see, and here's the misguided measure. See, he's just got to do this. But this is a different accounting system, isn't it? When you sell everything and give it to the poor, how different this kingdom arithmetic is. This is Jesus' loving correction. And so often we're starting to count the costs and we're starting to calculate and we're considering all the treasures that we have and the size of our bank account and the amount that we have to give. And the calculation begins and Jesus says, no, actually, when you do this, when you sell everything and give to the poor, you gain even more. That's eternal arithmetic, that to sell everything and give it all away doesn't bankrupt you. Instead, it blesses you. And actually, that is where you will find the more and the gain of gaining eternal life. We need to learn the character of giving in God's kingdom. That's what Jesus is teaching about. That's what he goes on to talk about with the disciples next. That it's easier for for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And we have to say, ouch. That's us. And this is impossible. And that's precisely the kingdom dependence that God is talking about. Are we like children who know our Father? Who know the reconciliation of Jesus Christ, who know the lordship of our Savior, who recognize that even when we give all for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Christ, God will sustain. God is the one who has the whole universe in his hands and who will provide for his people because he loves them and he cares for them. He's a father who shepherds and leads them. He's a king who provides and upholds them. But we need to recognize not only is the call to sacrifice, to leave everything, to become dependent like children. That's the character of this kingdom accounting. And it's not to say, oh, look at how much we've lost, but to see, oh, look at how much we've gained as we gain reliance upon our Father, that Jesus is trying to liberate us from holding on to something other than God to satisfy our soul. But that is only half the equation. Because Jesus says that accompanying the selling and giving, you need to follow me. Did you hear that? Listen to what Jesus says. You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have. Give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Often I think we mentally just shut off there. But Jesus says, here's another part of that one thing. Here's the next part of the equation. And come, follow me. Because this was going to be a hindrance. His wealth was a hindrance from him following Jesus. This is what love for God entails. While that man may have loved his neighbors, while that man may have thought that from childhood he had kept these commandments, and Jesus doesn't refute that. But Jesus says what you lack is not in terms of loving your neighbors. What you lack is in terms of loving God. And Jesus exposes his breaking of the first commandment. He loved his wealth. He went away sad, disheartened, because the cost was too great. And it breaks our hearts because, no, the gain was so much greater. He could have had so much more. He was so close. And yet so far. His supreme good was holding on to his possessions, rather than holding on to God. He hadn't come like a child to the king with an open heart and empty hands. He thought of what he had to offer. Think of what Jesus, or what God's word teaches us in Psalm 16. David sings of this in Psalm 16, verse 2. O Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good thing apart from you. That's Jesus' loving correction. I have no good thing apart from you. Kingdom dependence is about believing that living for God and living with God is your greatest good. And that's what Jesus shows us, and that's what Jesus teaches us in his word. This is the character of kingdom accounting. Lose everything and follow Christ. Leave it all. And when you do, you will realize the units of eternal kingdom arithmetic. Losing everything plus following Christ equals eternal life. What do you need to inherit eternal life? Don't be misguided in your measures of what's valuable and treasured in this life. Remember this kingdom accounting. Leave all and follow Christ. And eternal life is yours. Because Christ is true. And what he teaches us this morning is a different way of calculating value and treasure and outcome in his kingdom. That's Jesus' kingdom accounting. What's yours? Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come brokenhearted because we are this rich young man. So often we think of our potential, of our contribution, of our well-being. We count the costs of what we've left behind and forget about the value of what we gain. Forgive us, we pray, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your gospel correction. Thank you for your gracious correction. Thank you for your loving intervention through the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the songs and the hymns that we can sing, which remind us again of a different accounting method that is vital for us to embrace by faith and to cling to, because it is the true eternal method that you have revealed from the very beginning. From the time when Adam and Eve had fallen, that our life is not found in the abundance of our possessions, but in the abundance of your grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus' loving correction of us this morning. Help us to change our methods, our measures, our values. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.